Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen? One of the problems that I've noticed during this COVID crisis is how difficult it is to read people because they're masked, just as you are. I was standing in the grocery store and somebody made a kind of off-the-wall comment. And I kind of looked and nodded because I couldn't see their facial expression. I couldn't tell if they were being cynical or being serious. So I just kind of, okay, and moved on. It's something I think that the face is such an absolute good indicator. Unfortunately, we're living in a time where we have to face the mask constantly. You're probably wondering, why am I talking about masks? Well, let me tell you. In preparation for today's message, the appointed epistle lesson stopped me dead in my tracks when I read the first sentence of the ninth verse, which reads, from Romans chapter 12, which reads, "Let love be genuine." I looked at that sentence and I sensed something vitally important I felt I needed to dig into. The reason that sentence was so important to me is because it kicks off a whole list of duties, shoulds, and should nots. I realized that if I didn't get that first sentence right, I was looking at a list of moralism. And I could expound upon those things that you should or shouldn't be doing, but I knew that that was not God's intention. The first thing I wanted to explore is I took a look at the word genuine. Some translations use the word sincere. Let love be genuine, let love be sincere. There are nuances in those words that I wanted to get into. Sincerity is a word that deals with the issues of the heart. We usually think of it as being having, you know, something, feeling something heartfelt. And that makes sense. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly with a pure heart." And then I looked at the word genuine, just in English. And that word conjures up ideas of something that is real, something that's authentic, something that's natural or of original stock, or negatively speaking, not counterfeit, imitation, false, or unadulterated. But in both of these cases, I ran into a problem. Not so much with the text, but with my natural nature. You all know we have what we call a sinful nature. That's our condition. When you talk about sincerity, you come face to face with our feelings and our emotions. And boy, you know what a roller coaster ride that can be, with all its ups and downs in life. Emotions can wreak havoc on the heart cords. They can be calm one minute and absolutely volatile the next. You see, the problem is that we all have hearts that are broken. I don't mean you have broken hearts as if you were just broke up with your boyfriend or girlfriend, but we have truly broken hearts. Listen to what Jeremiah wrote in chapter 17, verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And while Jesus tells us that we should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength, he also says a little bit earlier in Mark's gospel, "For from within out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Wow. That's natural to me and to you. And so the very next thing on Paul's list after letting love be genuine is abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. And we go, wow, how often do we miss that mark? What most of us do when we're trying to let love be genuine, and yet we see these thoughts in our minds and in our hearts, these unnatural things, at least unnatural in the sense of the spiritual realm, they become so much a part of our natural condition. So we hide them behind an exterior of, hey, everything's good. Everything's fine. And whether we're trying to be sincere or act out of a genuine love, we know what resides in the heart of man. And it's not always good. So you can imagine my surprise now when I finally went back to the Greek Bible and took a look at a word. I've been doing that recently, have you noticed? And it says, listen carefully, let love be anhypokritos. An is the negative prefix, a negative prefix attached to the word hypokritos. You hear the word, I know you do. Hypocrite. That's exactly what it is. Let your love be unhypocritical. It's a lot of negatives in there. There's where the idea of unmasking came to me. In ancient Greek theater, a hypocrite was simply an actor. Whoa, my daughter is performing in a Greek play this coming spring. She's doing for her senior project. And I'm sure she would not appreciate me calling her a hypocrite. But she is an actor, so if the shoe fits, right? Well, Greek plays were performed in an outdoor theater, and they used masks. And were almost always performed by a chorus and three actors. Why, I'm not sure. Usually men. And no matter how many speaking characters were in the play, only three actors were used. And the actors would go backstage after playing one character, and they would switch masks and costumes and reappear as another character. Isn't that interesting? So when Paul says, let your love be unhypocritical, he's saying love should not be expressed from behind a mask. It should be real. It should be natural. It should be authentic. And it should be heartfelt. Have you ever caught yourself interacting with someone, portraying or acting a role when underneath you were feeling something entirely different than what you were portraying? We are masters at masking what's underneath, aren't we? Even before COVID. So now I'm kind of working back through that first sentence. And I wanted to look at the word love. Paul is encouraging us to unmask love, right? But not just any love. Eric, if you got that slide, I want to pull that up. There are four basic words that the Greeks used for the word love. And this is a little chart so that you can follow along. So storge is literally an affection, a love between family members. And you've all experienced this before, you know, I can talk about my family any old which way I want to, but don't you dare say anything against anyone in my family. That's kind of what storge is all about. It's a term that was only used once in the New Testament. The next word is philia, philios, and it describes a love between friends. And you are familiar with this word. We all are, because we know the city Philadelphia, which is a compound word of philos, love, and adelphos, which is the term for men, the love or brother, the love of brother, the brotherhood of love of brotherhood. So it's this compound word. And then there's the word eros, which is a term that we get the word eroticism. And it's the love that exists between a couple. It's a romantic kind of love. But then there's the last one, agape. And maybe you've heard that if you've been in Christian circles, agape love, which is a love that's so far above the human normal human interaction. And it is termed a love that is attributed only to God. Think about that for a moment. A love that can only be attributed to God. The love is so high. Let agape love be unmasked is literally what the text says. And this, my friends, I believe is key to our understanding the list that follows in Paul's lesson for today. If we don't understand that first sentence, verse 9 of Romans chapter 12, that list simply becomes our moral obligation. And I suggest to you very strongly, that is not God's intention. Morality is a good thing, don't get me wrong. But if it is separated from God's love, it becomes an obligation to win God's affection, and that it is not. God always, if you look through Scripture, always rescues and then He commands. God delivers from sin and then He shows us a better way to live. That's the way God operates. And if you don't understand that, you will always be living on a stage and living a lie. So how do you unmask agape love? Well, you must realize that agape love, as I've just said, is so far above it can be attributed only to God. Agape love is God's love. It is not our natural way. It is a love that is more than sentimentality, more than feelings, more than emotions. Agape love is authentic to the core. Do you know why God wanted His love unmasked? His love is the cross of Jesus. It is love that so compelled Jesus to take on human form so that He could die for the sins of every human being. Our love, you know, it's fickle, conditioned to respond well when it's treated well. God's love was steadfast and genuine, even when He was rejected by men, the very ones He came to save. And when God unmasked His love for us, we saw the face of Jesus, and we saw a love that was so far above anything we'd ever seen in this world. John said, God is love, agape love. We saw it with our own eyes. We saw the true intention of God when Jesus was born and when He died. We know that we have corrupted hearts. We must admit that. We know that we struggle every day with things that we'd rather not present to the world, to our family, and to our friends. We want to appear healthy and wealthy and wise. But spiritually, you know, That's not our condition. That's why Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Because those are the ones that God touches with his grace and with his mercy. God's love is authentic. Agape love has come to us. God is reaching out to us even in our most weakened state. And instead of giving us the list of to-dos, he offers us love and a better way to live. You know, we can be authentic if we just stop acting and admit our sinful condition before God and one another. That takes some vulnerability, doesn't it? But when we do that, God opens up a world of his agape love for us. He promises us to forgive our sins, to give us a life now that's abundant, as well as a life hereafter that is truly extraordinary. Let God's agape love be revealed to you. Let God unmask that love in your heart so that the world may not necessarily see how wicked and horrible you are, but understand just how great the love of God is for you and for them as well. Agape love. So let us stop acting. Let us confess our sins. Let us receive that grace that never stops flowing toward us and receive the love that God has given us. Unmask that beautiful love that we see coming from the cross. That's God's will. The rest will follow. The shoulds and the should nots are just the way of saying, God, we love you. Of course we want to do those things. And when we fall, we can confess again and God forgives. And we start all over again, fresh. Let that be a message of healing and comfort to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.